Thanks be to God.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will perish just as they did." Then he told them a parable. A man had a fig tree planted on his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, See here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Invite the children to come up.
Probably know what this is.
Hi, come on up.
Do you know what this says? Do not enter. What happens if you do? You ever see a sign like that? Should you just go in there anyway? No, it might be dangerous. In fact, there, it looks like there are some flames there, doesn't it? Well, what about this one? Do you ever see this sign somewhere? What's it saying? You might slip because they're, what are they doing? They're mopping the floor. And if you walk on that, you could fall. Well, how about this one?
It's a stop sign.
Stop sign. Should you just look at it and go?
No.
What do you need to do?
Stop.
What happens if you don't? You could go to jail. Yeah. Could go to jail. Or somebody might hit you. Right? Let's see. Here's another one. What's this one?
Slow down.
A slow down sign, isn't it? A caution. Be careful. And let's see. I've got a couple more. Oh, yeah. Here's one. There's a turn in the road, right? Yeah. Well, what if you took, have one of those and you had a sign like this? What's that say?
Wrong way.
Wrong way. Should you go that way anyway?
No.
No.
Well, then, could be a dead end.
That could be a dead end. That's true. And all of these signs tell us how we should act. And sometimes people don't listen to the signs. But this one here, wrong way, is kind of like the word sin. When we are sinning, we are going the wrong way. We're doing the wrong thing, right? And how do we fix that? God to take our sins away. Should we go the right way?
Yeah.
In fact, what we should do is take that curve and go the opposite way then, right? That's what the word repent it's a big word, means to turn around and go the other way. So we'll give God thanks for all of the signs around us that tell us which way we should go, shall we? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for all the signs that help us know which way we should go and which way we shouldn't. Help us learn all of the other signs that you give us that remind us which way you want us to go. Amen. Thank you.
There are sometimes during a week that people say something or do something and they remind me of something. You know, it's kind of like one of those things that accumulates. I'm thinking of one thing and all at once somebody says something and I'm thinking of another thing, and all at once they start adding up. And somebody said something this week that reminded me of a poem that I thought I'd share with you. It was a poem that was done by Walter Brennan. And he says, "The sun comes up, the sun goes down. The hands on the clock keep going around. I just get up and it's time to sit down. Life gets tedious, don't it? My shoe's untied, but I don't care. I ain't figuring on going nowhere. Why, I'd have to wash and comb my hair, and that'd be a just wasted effort. Water in the well is getting lower and lower. Can't take a bath for 6 months more. But I heard it said, and it's true, I'm sure, that too much bathing will weaken you. Open the door, and the flies come in. Close the door, and I'm sweating again. Just one darn thing after another. The tin roof's leaking and the chimney leans. There's a hole in the seat of my old blue jeans. And I ate the last of the pork and beans. Just can't depend on nothing. Cow's gone dry and the hens won't lay. Fish quit biting and it's Saturday. Trouble's a-piling up day by day and now I'm getting dandruff. Grief and misery, pains and woes, debts and taxes, so it goes. I think I'm getting a cold in my nose. Life gets tedious, don't it?" Kind of reminds you of the gloomy preacher who writes Ecclesiastes, who said that so much of life is just a chasing after the wind. There's nothing good under the sun. Now, if we live with that philosophy, we're pretty well doomed. But there's always a question, and most people who go to church regularly have this question about maybe why doesn't God speak to me like he spoke to, say, Adam and Eve? Why doesn't he speak to me like he spoke to Noah, telling him to build the ark? Why doesn't he speak to me like he did Abraham in telling him to leave the land he was at and go to another land? That he was going to make him the father of many nations. Why doesn't God speak to me like he did with Moses, speaking in that burning bush? Keith Muller was a man who was an industrialist, made quite a lot of money. And as he was getting on in years and getting ready to retire, he was concerned about that very question. He was wondering, he had been a regular churchgoer, but God never spoke to him. You know, all the years he'd been to church and Sunday school, God never talked to him. So he decided, since he could afford it, he would go to some of the places where God spoke to people and see if he would hear God speak. So he flew off to the Sinai and went up on Mount Sinai. Now, I've been to the base of Mount Sinai. I didn't climb up there. You have to leave at 2 a.m. in the morning in order to get up there for the sunrise. But he did that. And he sat up there and he watched the sunrise and he said, well, it was okay. There wasn't anything special about it. I mean, he'd seen better sunsets in Wyoming. Sun rises in Wyoming, so what was the big deal there? And he sat there and while and listened and didn't hear God speak. So he went to Jerusalem, and he went to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where they have a place they say is where the Golgotha was at one time, the place of the crucifixion. And he thought, well, surely God will speak to me there. But he was really disappointed because, oh, there were a bunch of tourists. They were noisy and they were all trying to crowd in to see what he was seeing. And there was this gaudy decorations, all these lanterns and lamps. And he was so disgusted, he just left there. And he went to the garden tomb, which they will admit probably was not the garden tomb in which Jesus was buried. But he sat there and it was nice and peaceful and quiet. But he couldn't hear God speaking there either. Finally, he decided, well, maybe if I went to Rome, I could go to the place where they said that Peter was executed. And maybe God would speak to me like he did to Peter. But God didn't speak to him there either. Again, he was kind of offended by all the souvenir sellers and all of the things that were going on there. So he decided, he was a good Lutheran, he was going to go to Wittenberg. That's where Luther heard God speaking, and he knew God would speak to him there. But once again, he sat there for the longest time, didn't hear a word. Then he thought, well, maybe Wesley was right. So he went to Aldersgate in England, where Wesley said that his heart had this strange, warm sensation. Once again, it was just a waste. So when he got back, he went to church the next Sunday, and he was sitting in the back of the church wondering whether he ought to just chuck the whole thing. It's a waste of time. God doesn't speak to anybody. God doesn't speak to me. And that particular Sunday, they read the second lesson we read today. And all at once, something started to click. Paul writes to the Corinthians that the Israelites were all under the same cloud. This is the cloud under which all of the firstborn of the Egyptians died. And the Israelites were free. All passed through the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink. But God was not pleased with all of them. And as he thought about it, in fact, he blocked out the rest of the service because his mind is thinking about, why was God so unhappy with these people? And then it dawned on him that among the Israelites, if you read what happened after they left and entered the wilderness, A spirit of contention and negativity entered into them. We had it so much better as slaves in Egypt. Why, if we just went back, we could have all the onions and leeks and all the good stuff to eat again, and the melons. If we just went back to the past, we could have it all again. And then he realized, you know, the spirit of negativity can just totally destroy people. It can destroy churches. And it can destroy us and lead us in a direction that takes us away from even listening to God. Because Muller discovered that God speaks through all of these things. God's been speaking to you today. He's spoken to you through the reading of the Word. He's speaking to you through the preaching of the Word. He's speaking to you through the singing of the Word. He's speaking to you through the person next to you. He's speaking through every opportunity he has, if we will but listen. Because you see, he was speaking to the Israelites all of the time, but they weren't listening. They weren't listening. Now, like Muller, we could throw up our hands and say, well, it's such a waste. But look at the words of Jesus. Jesus gives us new hope. But what he reminds us is that those people who died in Siloam and all the other places were no worse sinners than we are. The people who died from the floods, the people who died from terrorist acts, all those people were no worse sinners than we are. But there is hope. And he tells the story. For those of our gardeners, you probably appreciated his little parable about the fig tree. Have you ever had a tree that did not produce fruit? Most of us have had one like that. Some of you may be familiar with the name Jerry Baker. Anybody? I'm the only one. Oh, there we go. Jerry Baker had a TV show, and he used to use the strangest, oddest concoctions to bring a lawn back to life or to bring plants back to life and make them really thrive. And in the parable, the gardener, who is Jesus, says, don't dig up this fig tree. There's hope for it. Jesus just holds on to us as that fig tree. And he wants life in it. And he wants it to produce fruit. And he doesn't want it destroyed. And he says, I'll take care of fertilizing it and making it grow more. Jerry Baker says if he has a tree like that, he takes a wadded up bunch of newspapers and he goes out there and he spanks the tree. And it brings new life to it. And I read another. I know it sounds strange. First time I heard that, it was the craziest thing I've heard of. But who knows? I guess there is a logic to it. It stimulates the flow of juices in the tree. But that's another subject all by itself. I'm off the subject. But anyway, sort of off the subject, because another person who took care of things like that had trees that weren't producing, and they asked, well, what do you do after a couple of years? You can spank it and do whatever you want. He says, I take a chain and I scar it. And he says, I've never had a tree yet fail to produce fruit after we did that. The good news is that Jesus took the scars for us on the cross. You see, he wants us in his kingdom so bad. He wants us to give up the negativity and all the things that lead us astray, because he wants us to produce fruit in his kingdom. And my friends, that's the best news of all. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.